Okay, Parshas Achrimos has in it, we're going to be looking at two topics. The first one is just the very introduction to Yom Kippur, which is the very beginning of the Parsha. And then we're going to skip to Perek Yud Ches, which opens with the B'chuk Oseim Lo Silechu, Eretz Canaan, Eretz Mitzrayim, the different things which the Jewish people are meant to not follow. Okay? So the Or Chaim, in his discussion about it, he has a very lengthy comment, actually, on Pasuk Aleph, and he goes on and on for pages and pages and pages. I'm not going to... I didn't give you all of it, but we'll look through the bulk of it, because it focuses on important lesson that he thought was being given over to Aaron regarding the deaths of his sons, because the Pasuk begins, that Hashem spoke to Moshe after the deaths of the two sons of Aaron, as they were bringing something close before God, and they died. So the Or HaChaim begins. First of all, the Pasuk doesn't tell us what Hashem spoke. There's no dibur. And base, what's the whole point of saying that this dibur came after the death? Mali achar Mali Kodim, who cares when the Dibur came? It shouldn't matter if it was before the death or after the death. It would seem to be irrelevant. This is not about a timeliness issue. This is instructions for Yom Kippur. And number three, Gimel Lama Hutzrach Lamar B'Kor Vasam. Why does the Pasuk need to tell us that it happened when they were bringing something close? Im Lo Di Hashem Esu B'Shvil Shenizkar V'Lifnei Hashem. If you're telling us that they died on account of they were bringing some karbon, some hakrava before God. We already heard that in Parsha Shmini. We know what they did. They brought a strange fire. And the whole thing is spelled out there. And here, just using the word b'karvasam, it tells us nothing. So we know nothing about what they did and what caused them to die. And Dalid, Omro by Amusu, and the fact that they died, Museris, it's totally extra. Harshit Chilamar, Choremos, the Parsha began saying it was after they had died. So why is saying it again? And hey, Omro by Amusu, Betosef is Vav. Vaya Musu, meaning you don't need that middle Vav in the word there. Vaya Musu, you could just say Vav, Yud Mem, Saf, Vav. Okay, we're not going to look at all the answers to these questions, but I did want to. Right. Okay, so. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, in Vayamusu is. Hey, Omro Vayamusu, but Tosef is Vav. So I'm not sure. In the art scroll, Vayamusu is not spelled with Tosef is Vav, with an additional Vav. So I'm not sure. Vayamusu. Karvasam of Hashem. Vayamusu. I'm not sure what he means there. In the text that we have, there is an additional Vav. Maybe he didn't look at it. I don't know. Okay, we'd have to look at it. All right. So again, we're not going to get to all these. We're not going to answer all these questions tonight. But just wanted you to see how he's thinking. And the first paragraph that he does is he says that there's a deeper message here. The first thing is a message to Moshe that you shouldn't think that because you're so close to God, he gives a number of superlatives about how that Moshe is, right? He says even though this is being instructed to Aaron, that Moshe shouldn't think that he's not included, because he is included. Right? But we have an understanding about Moshe that he's a little different. Moshe is on a different caliber. So when the Pasuk here says, "Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe," that God is giving Moshe a specific commandment. And he's connecting it, and God is commanding this mitzvah, which is to Moshe. What's being told here is a message to Moshe, okay, and it's specifically being tied to the deaths of his nephews, Perush, Agama, Yosem, Bnei Aaron, Uvitosefes, Meruba, Yosem, Krovim, Lefnei Hashem. So, A, they were the sons of Aaron, right? Achrimo, Shnei, Bnei Aaron. It doesn't say Achrimo is Nadav Abihu. It says they were the sons of Aaron. Okay, and that, so That's one merit which they have going for them. And number two, that they were krovim lifnei Hashem, like the Rashi, like the Midrash says, based on the pasuk b'krovaya kadesh, afal pikein lo chamal aleihem vayemusu. God did not have pity on them, and they died. Halamata shlo yo'il ayos adam kol kach karov l'Hashem kadesh yifrotz geder l'kanes l'kodesh penima. Okay, Moshe is being told, don't think that you're above the law. Okay, you're Moshe, you're Moshe Rabbeinu, you're Moshe Rabbeinu HaKadosh, you're Moshe Ish Elokim, you're not above the law. Nadav and Avihu, they were Aaron, and they were Kedoshim, and all that, they weren't above the law. Some things, you can't play. So that's the first point, right? The Ber Hashem of Moshe, this is a message to Moshe. Acharei Moshe b'nei Aaron b'karbason l'b'nei Hashem. Moshe, you got to recognize the context, understand what was going on here. Vayamusu, they still died, even though they were who they were. Okay, you look so, like you want to say something.
And your concern, about how this causes a sanctification of God's name.
Okay, well that's a totally different question, but we're gonna get to it. That's fine, but no, but I don't really think it's a question. We saw it. I mean, look, I don't really know what's going on in that hotel incident when Moshe's on his way back from the burning bush, but there are those who say that Moshe is the one who almost died, and if that's the case, you know, even Moshe, right after he was told by God, you're going, you mess around, that's it. What do they say? They neglected the bris of the baby. I don't know if that's a capital offense, but nevertheless, even Moshe Rabbeinu, okay. So we continue on the second half of the page. Yeah, now I skipped a couple paragraphs in the Or HaChaim. So we're going to go Achein. Okay, and what you have is I skipped. Okay, I put three dots to show you that I skipped. So if you're going to look us up at a Chumash to audit me, you'll see that I was honest. I skipped a little bit. Achein, letzad ma'ashad yeno kasu shabavon ha'egel meisu shnei ben ha'ar. Now he gives other explanations, okay, because there are a number of theories as to why Aaron's sons died. But he says, based on the pasuk that on account of the sin of the eagle, they died, as it says in Parashas Ekev, because if you look throughout the Torah, there's so many hints that talk about the deaths of the sons of Aaron or the punishments which was given to Aaron. Uva Aaron is hanaf Hashem l'shmido, b'les palel, that Moshe says in Parashas Ekev, that God got angry at Aaron and was going to destroy him after the eagle. But I prayed on his behalf. And the rabbi said, that God wanted to kill all of Aaron's sons. But Moshe's tefillah helped and spared Elazar and Itamar. Okay, and so what that implies is that Aaron's sons died not because of whatever happened. That was a smokescreen. They died for other reasons, not because of what they did in Parsha Shmini. Mizbeach kapara hayu hema laviyam, and they were basically, or maybe mizbeach kapara hayu hema, that they were an atonement to their father. V'lo tiksha, v'halo amru shemesu l'tzad avon akriva, mandam r'lamandam r'alakrava. Right, so don't ask the question regarding the one who says that they died because of what they actually did. Yeshlamar she'im lo haya avon aviyam, haya shem shomer raglei chasidav. Right? Had it not been for what Aaron had done, then they wouldn't have died over here. That's the argument that he's making. Again, so that's the whole question. I mean, the idea of this episode, the question is if what they actually did was a capital offense. Okay? And I have to tell you, I studied it a lot, and the Mefarshim, they're all over the place. Okay, so the idea of it being a smokescreen, I got from the Rabbanel, because that's his argument that he makes regarding Moshe and Aaron dying with the Meimoriva. He says that's a smokescreen. Moshe died because of the Meraglim. Aaron died because of the Chet Ha'egel. And he says, and it's the same thing regarding Nadav and Avihu, that Nadav and Avihu's death in Shmini, on account of what they did in Shmini, is a smokescreen for something else. Now, what that something else? He says it's the end of Parshas Mishpatim when Vayechazu Asa Elohim. Right, they saw God, and they didn't die. Okay, but obviously he's saying that according to the view that says that they died because of our own sin and the Egel, then this is also a smokescreen.
So you're because few months ago, you were talking about Moshe dying because of hitting the rock, right? So you're saying now that, I guess, the Barbanel saying he died because of...
If you got from anything that I've ever said that I suggested that Moshe died because of hitting the rock, then you're misquoting me.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I thought the reason that he was... Oh, no, the reason he wasn't... No, okay, let's breathe. Okay. The reason he wasn't allowed into Israel was because of... He didn't speak to the rock, but...
No, that wasn't me either.
No?
That wasn't me either. Okay. Moshe has told Los Aviyu Esakol, you're not going to bring the people in.
Okay.
Okay.
So you just said, I don't want to misquote you, God forbid.
No, that's okay. It's okay. We can clarify everything. It's all right.
Okay. So you're saying that the source that you just quoted, which was, I think, was the Barbanel?
Yeah.
So he's saying that was because...
He said that what they did in the Memoriva story was minor, but God didn't want to embarrass them over the big deal of the Egel and the big deal of the Meraglim, you know, respectively. And so he pinned it on something which we could say, oh, they messed up here a little bit. But, oh, that's, God made it into a big deal. He said you want to embarrass them for the real big faux pas.
So the faux pas was the really, really big...
Put it this way. This is Abravanel, okay? He says, it's very simple. How does God operate? Mida keneged mida, okay? You hit a rock, you don't get to go on the land, that makes no sense. He says, what happened? Aaron did whatever he did with the Egel. By the way, we've seen other Mephoshim who say that Aaron didn't sin at all with the Egel. Okay, so that's the Barbanel's approach. So, but what does he say? He says that Aaron did whatever he did with the Egel, caused many people to die and not go into the land of Israel. Moshe did whatever he did with the spies, caused many people to die and not go into the land of Israel. Now you can see what Mida Keneged Mida is. You will die and you're not going to get to go in the land of Israel. That's the way,
it is. So his sin was sending the miracle?
That's the Barbanel's view.
Okay.
I have a much more globalist view of Moshe's story, and that his destiny was to never go into the land. For other reasons entirely. Okay, and I've written a lot about it, plenty. If you go to my blog, arabbiwithoutacause.blogspot.com, and you just like rebel without a cause, but a rabbi, okay, and .blogspot. And look for where it says Moshe's sin. Just type in Moshe's sin. And there's a page that has a lot, everything I've ever, I mean, not everything, but a lot of things that I've written about Moshe's sin. And just, it's a lot. Okay, it's a lot. Anyway, let's continue here. Gan lo kasha masha amru shemesulis kadesh mo yisbarach. It also is not a question on the ones that say, it is Gemara and Zvachim, it says that they died to sanctify God's name. Kim lo ya avon ha'igel. That if there hadn't been the sin of the Egel, God would have had to sanctify the Mishkan in some other way. Basically, he's saying that we don't understand God's ways. So tzarach sheyel tzadik kol shemi advarim asher lo tov asos kidei shedarach sham yishlot behem adin. The tzadik needs to do something no good in order for judgment to be put upon. If you look in Avos Rabbi Nosan Rimashe Matzah. I'm not sure where Shain Kuf is. Ta'am lahariga. So the tzad says, "Oh, I'm sorry. What you have here?" He brings a number of examples of cases where people were sick and somebody died. And let's see. I just remember. And their limud on the pasuk of Hamav Salah Chasidav, right? So one of the, if you look, go down two lines, you'll see Hamusala Asara Ruge Malchus, the Magen Mitzil Daros Bnei Israel, that the 10 martyrs were supposed to be some kind of protection for the Bnei Israel, and he says that it's the same thing. Tamzen Osin Tam Lasheva Gam B'Mashal Lefanenu Kevana Egel Kvar Nimchal B'Farhesia. He says that what happened with the golden calf has already been publicly forgiven. Right before the deaths of Nadav and Avihu, Aaron brings the stuff on the Mizbeach, remember? And the fire comes down and consumes what's on the Mizbeach. So that's the public, you know, kapara, you know, forgiveness for the golden calf. So hold on a second. If the public has been indicated that the sin of the golden calf has been forgiven, so then the death of the sons should have also been
not required.
Not required. Levada ki gam shenimchal rishumo nikar v'kashir chut asayra me'achet sheyaspik lashlotas mida hapoels din ba'adam. So he says, what's he saying? He's making the argument that, okay, according to the view that says another one of you died, we're going to count the sin of the chet ha'egel. Yes, there are two things going on. One is the public. The public needs to see that Bnei Israel is moving on. But that's the public image. But the fact of the matter is that there still needs to be an accountability. And that's what he's suggesting. And so they made an error. What was their error? Again, was their error worthy of death? I mean, I don't know. We saw the Orach Chaim, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's what we saw this year, that his argument was that he also said that it was something else, and it wasn't the hakrava. Right? The pasuk focuses on the Eish Zara, on the strange fire. But in other words, where did they get the fire from? So there was an error, but the idea that they were being makriv ktores was not the problem. It was about where they got the fire from. It wasn't so much the act itself.
Do you remember the cases where a child gets flame first, dies because of? Is there really? Can you think of anything of that sense?
There is. I mean, there is such a concept in kares.
But you can't think of an example.
No, I don't know of an example. I don't know of an example, but there is such a concept of kares. But the proof is Aaron. I mean, that's when they talk about kares coming and children dying. Right now, that's something I would never tell anybody because I think it's nobody should feel guilt, and that's part of that's the whole vort on Vayidom Aaron. Right? Moshe says to Mikrovaya Kadesh, because Moshe is trying to say, again, this is like homiletics. Moshe is trying to tell Aaron, it wasn't you. Like, don't think it was you. Chazal say it was, right? And, you have this whole mahalo. So what do you do? Because Moshe said it wasn't you. And Aaron's like, but I think it was. So who wants to feel that kind of guilt? And, I've spoken to people in this shul who lowly have buried, children, especially adult children. And the worst feeling in the world is to think it's my fault.
It's not supposed to be worse than that.
What?
It's not, the Gemara says it's nothing worse than that.
Right. So that's why... And I like to think that that's one of the reasons why. The first thing that Moshe says to him is, they were holy. This is what God wanted. It's nothing to do with you. And Aaron's quiet. Anyway. V'api ha'dvarim ha'ilah, nuchal lamar, ki lo uchshar Aaron li'os ro'i l'vo el beis chatzer ha'melech p'nima, el b'mtzos mezbech kaparosh shel banim. B'nov v'nimcha roshem chet ha'igel. He says that Moshe, Aaron only became worthy to go into the Kodesh after his sons died. Crazy. And that's why Aaron could not get the instruction to go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim on Yom Kippur until after that happened. I mean, that is crazy stuff. He says, now he can understand the Pasuk. Vayedaber Hashem. Hashem spoke. Modiya Kasuv. Ki adibur anemar b'inyan b'zos yavon Aaron al Kodesh. Lo nechshar Aaron l'mala zo el acharei mosh nei b'nei Aaron v'nimcha chet'o v'diktek l'mar b'nei Aaron. Okay, so we saw before an idea that Moshe, don't think you're so holy. Guess who else shouldn't think he's so holy? Aaron, there's only one reason why you get to do this, because you got your atonement through the worst kind of punishment you could suffer. And what's the worst kind of punishment you could suffer? Burying your two sons. In the height of, the height of their youth, the height of their strength, the height of their everything, the height of their service of God. Okay, so that's the first part. So why did Hashem, and that's the Torah is explaining, why did God not give the instruction for Yom Kippur? Because before this, Aaron wasn't mukshar to do this. That's why it doesn't tell us Nadav and Avihu. It has to tell us, why did they die? They died because they were Bnei Aaron. Because who was deserving of punishment? Aaron. And what was the punishment? Bnei Aaron. Not Nadav and Avihu. It's Bnei Aaron. It had nothing to do with them. It had to do with their father. Again, the tzaddik is somebody out on the kaparas of neviim. Odia ki lo zos yisibas sametchila v'yatzof l'misa sam. It's not what they were doing that's the reason for their death. Zos haisa siba rishona. She garma shalonish muraglayem kenizka v'shigu b'kriva b'akrava l'madamar. Azai, right? Maybe they made an error. But he's saying that that is not the straw that killed them, so to speak, to mix metaphors. Okay, what is their karvasam? What brings them close before God? What makes them essentially into a karban? Because their father did. When you combine it all, that's why they die. And the fact of the matter is, and now I gave you two things, that's not enough to kill them. So Moshe threw in another zinger, that I'm going to sanctify this house with those closest to me. Okay, and that's another thing. So we need another reason. B'tosef esvav. Again, I don't know what the tosef esvav is. What's the, unless it's just the lefnei Hashem mesu. Maybe it's the vav at the beginning. The mosik nitzarach misosam liskadesh abayis liris Hashem hamakudash lirami amikdash. Now, what's the point of sanctifying the house? That people should understand that this is a place where yiras Hashem is necessary. Okay, because can you imagine? I'm not recommending this or suggesting this, but can you imagine, right? We know that people thank God on our shul, people take davening pretty seriously, but people slip, people, fool around, people don't remember to turn off their phone, right? People talk, whatever. People joke around. Can you imagine if somebody were to die doing one of these things? Can you imagine? Okay, imagine if a fire were to come down from heaven and consume somebody. You think we'd all get the lesson? I like to think that we would. Okay, I don't wish that on anybody. Okay, Chalila. But I like to, but that's the point that he's trying to make. He says, people are going to look at this mikdash and say, whatever, it's nice, cute stuff you built, Moshe Rabbeinu, nice, But how do we revere this place if we fear the place? Right, right. Similar kind of idea. Right? Because what does he say afterward? Right? That we don't want anybody to die. She says, now I can combine and tell you that three things altogether caused her death. One, avona egel. Two, hakrava, whatever they were doing. Okay? And three, sanctification of God's house. Right, when it tells us it's after the deaths of the sons of Aaron, that's chet ego. The karvasam, that's what they did. Right, they died to bring sanctification and holiness to this place.
So where does the last one's kind of weak, right? Like that they died.
I mean, I don't know. If you want to say sanctification, maybe the sanctification part, but he's saying that he's creating a Yiras Elokim here, a Yiras Hashem in the Mikdash.
In terms of the source, it's just
No, it's the Pasuk. I mean, it's what Moshe says. And it's both what the Pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh, when Moshe says, what's the Pasuk there? I mean, Moshe says, "Who should be b'krovaya kadesh?" And the parsha's tetzaveh, the pasuk there says, Moshe says, "V'nikdash b'chodi," right? "V'nikdash b'chodi." So that's the application. We typically assign what Moshe says to Aaron that b'krovaya kadesh comes from "V'nikdash b'chodi." So that Moshe indicated that something special was going to happen. What's that special thing, right? That's again that gets into the whole discussion about Moshe and Aaron and the dynamic between them in Parsha Shmini, when that conversation which they have, I spoke about that. I think it was the Parsha class I gave, in which an argument that I made was Vayidom Aaron. Moshe says, "Who should he bear Hashem b'krovaya kadesh?" Right? Moshe says, ah, now I got it. I know what Hashem told me. And Aaron's silent. And maybe Aaron's thinking, you knew this was going to happen and you didn't say anything to me? What's wrong with you? But he's like holding back. It's just that was my chiddush this year. Anyway, he says, v'chol gimel atam tzrichin. Avon egel shezulasa letzad shehayu tzadikim gemurin hayadin mechayev sheyu nishmarim lebal yikashlu bekriva. We need all three of them. We need the chet egel because without it, then they were tzadik and gemurim. Then this you know, hayadin mechayev sheyu nishmarim lebal yikashlu bekriva v'zesim and lemichshav avon akriva. So, in other words, the kriva itself wasn't enough. But with the Chet HaEgel, they need to be walking on shoestrings. Gam, or whatever the expression is. Gam kein shezulas lo yamsu al avon aviyim ki gidolim hayu. Right? They can't, there was no way that they could die on the sin of their father. Right? I mean, there is a lo yamsu al sabanim, etc. But v'sibas kiddush habayis shezulas zeh lo ya Hashem ya'ariv simchaso yamsum chas libo. Right? That's another question. I remember one of the whole arguments about, you know, using a view which the Aruch Chaim did not raise here, but the one I mentioned in the name of the Abarbanel, about they're not dying at the time of Ma'amad Har Sinai and the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Right, the argument is that they should have died then, but didn't want to die because they didn't want to fashter Sinai. But you could fashter this, you know, let them die in their sleep. Why does it have to be in this way? He says that it's a cocktail of death and destruction, that everything together brought them to this point. Right, this is a joyous time, but altogether, this is again, it was like a crazy cocktail that brought them to their death. And maybe God would not have had them die at that time, and He would have had them die a different time. So that's why it happened on that time and not at a different time. Yeah, no, he's saying that altogether. Each one contributed in its own way. They needed to be walking on eggshells. That's the expression, and they didn't walk on eggshells, and so they did the hakrava. You know, the hakrava wouldn't have done it.
The first two didn't necessarily need them. They didn't need to die then at that moment.
Correct. That's what he's saying.
So the third one is the one that sort of.
No, but he's saying it's all a cocktail of it's a cocktail that put it that it happened to them at this time in that place.
Oh, I see.
Okay, but you need all three of them in order to make it to them at that time, at that place. Okay? Uchafi zeh, afshal says tam, I'm in the next paragraph, amram zal, sh'amru sh'amram Moshe, another Rabbi, sh'him gedolim Moshe v'Aaron. And so now you can understand why Moshe referred to another Rabbi and saying that they were greater than Moshe Aaron. Masha'ra Moshe, sh'utzach tam avon egel. L'misas b'nei Aaron, when Moshe saw that, or understood that that you needed the egel to be a reason for why they died, Im kein lo matzah kadosh baruch hu nidnud avon listabech bo anaf adin v'lo nikash el tzad ma shekadem b'avon aviyim. He says what Moshe is saying is that these guys are the holiest. The only reason why they even came into the parsha of dying over this episode was because they had a mark on their back because of what their father did. Zemar shehem gedolim Moshe v'Aaron. They were even greater than Moshe v'Aaron. Kidlo ninsalam afilu kichud asar me'achit ma shein kein Moshe v'Aaron. Right? They didn't do anything wrong. As opposed to Moshe and Aaron, who had done things wrong in the past and would do things wrong in the future. So this is a pasuk in Mishlei which he's learning from. Okay, so again, he's just going back and saying that all these things combined is what contributed to it. Hashem did not forgive Aaron for his sin of the golden calf. Lo b'tfilah. V'lo b'artzas Aaron b'karbonos of ma'asav. It wasn't tefillah which got rid of the decree. It got rid of the decree for Elazar and Itamar, but not for Aaron. Not in Aaron's regret. Gam keneged ma'asav lo shama ragleim l'skar l'makom. Okay, and he just goes back and reviews all the things which he said so far, which is that, again, it was just a very dangerous cocktail. Okay. Now the next paragraph, Odis Kaben Baumro, again he's continuing to give another explanation about why Aaron should not go into the Kodesh Kodeshim with the big day Zahav. So he talks about Enka Teger Nasas and Eger. I didn't want to give you the whole thing. Just skip to the part where it says Balach the Hasir Chashash Begam. It's about halfway down. It's the first word. It should be the first word on the line.
Right.
You have it? Yeah, it's halfway down. We're on page 3. On page 3, halfway down in that first paragraph. Bala sir chashash begam me'al Moshe, shu amar, v'espalel gam bar Aaron, v'yomer, Omer shelo yilu tefila shel Moshe. Right. We also want to take away a little bit of a pagam from Moshe, who said that he prayed for Aaron, and which would seem to indicate that his tefila didn't work. Moshe atzmo yachshav machshava shelo yilu tefila. So Moshe might even think that his tefila didn't work. Zama b'kar basam lufnei Hashem perish b'tzdarfus zibazo. Mesu avozilas zulas ze halo ayu mesim kewilut filaso ve halo ayu mesim kewilut filaso shel Moshe Aaron leval yashmido. Okay, in other words, again, it's a cocktail. It brings everything together. Moshe's tefillah actually did work, and had it not been for the fact that they also did something over here, then maybe they would have been saved. We don't even talk about it. Help halfway. Shamru shoila mechza perish given to sof sof mesu lo yet toels mitzvah social Moshe le'aron el mechza ki enu chashu toels el kvitachlis. The most you could say about Moshe's tefillah is that it only helped halfway, because they did in fact end up dying. Omro vayamusu laishvash lemar the Moshe ki anashim elo asu avon akriva o akrava in kvar hayu chayv emisa meisis ragez Hashem al Aaron lashmido uzelo nimnu miad midas adin. Okay, again, it's the same kind of idea. He's saying that they had a target on their back, and even though maybe they should not have, maybe they shouldn't have done this, but they weren't going to die from what they did over here. But because it was all a combination. Maybe God would have lent in his anger and he wouldn't have taken it out of them. So again, he's just showing us how the proof is in the text in that opening pasuk, where we see all the reasons under the sun for why in the end they died. Okay, and he's not pinning it on just the one item. Mm-hmm. He's pinning it on a few different items.
But that one item was the only thing that they did, though. So the thing was,
yes, but yeah, he's saying that without that one item, they wouldn't have died.
Yeah.
Okay, that, you know, if that you needed all three to make it that this time, this place, this result.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, and again, when you look at Nadav and Aviu, and I have another in that same. My blog, I have another one called Nadav and Aviu, okay? Because an argument can be made, you know, that there's the sin of Moshe, which is one discussion, and then there's Nadav and Aviu. But Nadav and Aviu, you know, it's hard to say that they were sinners, even though Chazal, they pin on Nadav and Aviu a whole bunch of stuff, but they can't come to a conclusion. They try to say, oh, Nadav and Aviu died because they were wearing the wrong clothes. Nadav and Aviu died because they were drunk. Nadav and Aviu died... proof, you know, because some psukim later give us instructions about how not to go into the Mishkan, so that means that Nadav and Aviu did all that stuff. You know, if Moshe says Bikrovaya Kadesh, that they're the holiest, 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 okay, it's hard to say that they were sinning, you know, and every single thing which they say, was it really a capital crime? Right? If all those instructions only came after they died, then guess what? You can't hold them to a capital crime when the capital crime hadn't been declared. Okay, you know, it's like when people say, George Washington, we should get him off the quarter. I saw an article today that starts saying we need to take down statues of George Washington. Why? Because he was a slave owner. In that time, it was legal. Okay, now we have moral issues with it now, but we, you know, maybe people at that time did, but it was the society didn't come to the consensus that this is evil. Okay, now it's evil, so you can't judge somebody. From a time when it wasn't evil, when the society didn't come to the consensus that it's evil, so it's the same thing. They didn't have the law yet. You can't say, oh, they should have died because the instruction hadn't been given yet. Certainly not to them. Okay, so that's the first thing that I wanted to draw your attention, and it's not even about Yom Kippur, but it's just his insights in his opening. Pasuk, because so many things in the pasuk are troubling, and that's one of the beauties of what some mepharshim do, is that they look at stuff like this and say, I really need to come up with a whole Torah to figure this out because there are too many things which are loose, too many strings untied. Okay, the other thing which I wanted to share with you tonight is from Parakeet Ches. Okay, and I know that the hour is a little late. But hopefully, we've only been going 35 minutes, so we usually go for an hour. So hopefully we won't even do it anymore. Okay? We're up to the Pasuk. It's on page 648. Pasuk says, Speak to the Bnei Yisrael, tell them I am Hashem Rigoyim. Kamaser, to try Mashir Yishav Tembo, lo sasu. Like the ways of the land of Egypt where you lived, you should not do. Kamaser, to Canaan, Asher, and Imibias, Kam Shama, lo sasu. And like the ways of the land of Canaan to which I'm bringing you, do not do. Uvukusahem, lo selechu. So I love, by the way, the Ksava Kabbalah, I think it's Ksava Kabbalah, on this, where he says, Kamaser, to try Mashir Canaan, right? Asher Yishav Tembo, says, that's your sin, that you dwelled there, that you wanted to stay there. And he says, that's your sin, that I have to be mevi, I got to bring you. You guys should be wanting to march along. And there's somebody, oh, we don't want to go, fight, you know, the Meraglim, pre-Meraglim, post-Meraglim. I mean, everybody's all upset about the land. So he's very Zionistic. He says, it should be Alona Alevi Arashnosa, like Kalev and Yeshua say, but before we even say, what's the land, the spies, you know. So he's very Zionistic. The Or Chaim has a different approach in terms of trying to understand this. So let's take a look, starting with the first paragraph here, where he gives us his questions. Okay, Tzarek Ladas, we need to understand, Lama Kafa Lomar Daber V'Amarta. So first of all, it says, Daber Al B'nei Yisrael V'Amarta Aleihem. Okay, so I ask this question. Page 648. Parakid Ches Pasuk Aleph and Beis. Okay, so Daber Al B'nei Yisrael, speak to the B'nei Yisrael V'Amarta Aleihem. Do you have to daber? Do you have to amar? Right? Which one is it? So that's the first point which he raises. Oh, machidesh b'ma'amar zeh, ani Hashem lokechem. V'chiyarata lo yodu zeh. What does God say? V'yamarta aleihem, ani Hashem lokechem. Oh, thanks for clarifying. Thank you very much. And I don't mean to be cynical or sarcastic to God, but like we've heard this before. We know who's speaking. V'chiyarata lo yodu, they didn't know this. V'oh, ma'u kavanasu mitzvahs k'maseh, me'en yadua ma'amah ha'aseh shalom tovah mitzvah. What's the deed of these people? Now maybe we can talk about Mitzrayim that we understand, but v'chumochei ma'aseh eretz k'nan, I mean, what is that? What's the ma'aseh you're even referring to? So, okay, because you're not being specific. So the rabbi said that he's comparing the ma'aseh k'nan to the ma'aseh Mitzrayim. All right, well, then that's the same thing. So if that's the same thing, then just say Mitzrayim, or just say Canaan. If it's coming to teach us that the deeds of both is the same, what does Torah need to tell us? The land of Mitzrayim that you lived in. Shkayach, which land of Mitzrayim did we not live in? Okay. Oh, to the Eretz Canaan. We Amar Asher Ani maybe Shenir Sheyesh Acheres. Oh, to the Eretz Canaan to which I'm bringing you. There's another Eretz Canaan. I mean, thank you. You know, these places have been identified. We know what they are. Lo Yesh the Eretz Canaan Acheres came in Sheni Yadua Minayin Yehu Maaseh No Deim with Sevos Aleihem. Right. And if we've never heard of another Eretz Canaan, then what deeds are we even talking about? So I mean, we know it's Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. We know the map. Vinira, so it appears, that because what's immediately right connected to this instruction about Eretz Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan are the arayos, the forbidden relationships. Gan Masha Mitzvah Parsha Al Tamu B'Cholela. At the very end of all the arayos, it says, "Do not become tamei with all this stuff." Ki B'Cholela Nitmeu Agoyim. So we learn at the end, because the Torah is specific, because God is specific, after the introductory passages regarding Eretz Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan, it gives us all the arayos, and then at the end it says, don't follow the ways of the goyim, of these lands. Okay, so I understand that the ways that we're referring to are Maase Arayos. And with that as a background, we can understand this psukim. Okay, he says that the mitzvahs that Hashem gives to his people are mitzvahs that a person can stand up against. A person can train oneself to do God's will. Zulas mitzvahs precious harayos. Udavar shenafsho shel adam mechmad hasan ve'onasato aleihem lasosam. He says the only thing that's really difficult, really, really difficult, is separating from arayos, because a person just has a chemda, and you know how many politicians have fallen, right, for this desire. He says, what could I do, right? It was a woman, a willing woman, right? Zulas bis'atzmus, the only way that a person can overcome is with the strength of harchakas beis dvar me'adam. Two things, two major harchakos. A person needs to put up very important fences. One is to not see. Umerchak b'chinas achoshev. Okay, and distancing the mind, what one is thinking. If a person doesn't put up appropriate guards in these two arenas, then a person is going to fall. If a person is not going to distance himself from the visual, distances the thought process. If there's visual, then the person is, a person could say, oh, I don't have illicit thoughts. Guess what? The visual is going to create illicit thoughts. And say, Lamad, this is the one that I was going to tell you before. So he gives three examples of examples in the Talmud of rabbis who faltered in on account of things which they saw. Okay, so I'm not familiar with these stories, and I did not have the time to look them up. So I'm just going to skip a little bit. Well, I mean, you know, one of the examples that we're going to see is David HaMelech. Okay. Yeah, of course. All right, so he's going to mention that. So just look at the last line. He says, Tzadikim Gemurim, they don't even get into these. How does a person become a Tzadik Gemur? You know, it's just blinders and earplugs and, you know, no sensory bring in. Okay, if that's what you're going to do, then fine. But what about the Baal Tshuva? The Baal Tshuva sees and says, done. I'm putting up the guard. Okay? Or I've been there. I'm putting up the guard. I'm not going to let myself go the next step. That God was very wise in giving this commandment, which goes against the Yetzirah. Shemar, eich yichol enosh tivi limshol b'tavaso, asheru unastod, davar zeh. Right? How could a normal person overcome his taiva? Right? This is the way you made me. God, davar zeh mushlo b'hadas, sheichayev Hashem shviraso, l'kol, b'ashva, elan Hashem asher yichol lin la'amod. It says, God gives this challenge, but to people who he believes can overcome. I don't think he's saying that. I think he's saying that people have the ability if they want to. V'yesh koach b'ritzona l'shlolach chavitz b'zeh.
Yes, that's what he's saying. That you're not put in situations where you don't have the strength to
stand against. Okay, it depends, right? But how strong does a person need to be? That's the question.
Oh, okay.
Right. Avol b'misha avro b'china anizkar kifia teva ein adam shel barucho l'mno me'asmo cheshek amachricho. Okay, so he says for the person she avru b'china anizkar. Who were able to? I don't know if that's overcome, but they passed through this challenge. Kfi ateva ein adam shalit barucho l'mno me'atzmo cheshek amachricho. A person, he says, ein adam shalit barucho. A person can't overcome his spirit to prevent himself from having a kind of desire. So what does a person do? Right, the sin is not in having the desire. The desire is normal. Right, the sin is in acting upon it. Okay, that's the issue. Al zenis kav in Hashem binom divrei elim chayim v'amar k'masei eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem. Okay, so the first thing is he uses Egypt as an example. Asher yishavtem perush agam shishavtem makom shanasheh b'neiz nunim. You lived in a place where the people are, right, this is what they do. V'lo simonamikem b'chinas hachoshev letzad yeshiva aschem b'neihem kol azman ahu komer asher yishavtem ba v'en yeshiva el ha'kava. He says, what is it asher yishavtem ba? That when you were there,
you came from
what? You
came close to that.
But you did, but you didn't. Right? What's what we say? We spill four things that Nigalu Mitzrayim. One of them is that they were not part of Be'erva. Okay, you're around this all the time. You lived amongst these people. Asher yishavtem ba. But guess what? You didn't do it. V'zeh yisrael tigboros hachevetz b'chem. Af ha-pikein, anochim mitzavetzchem, she-titatzmu l'natzeach ha-cheshek l'bal tasuk ma'aseyem. Says you're not among that anymore, right? You don't have to, you don't have to, it's, maybe in a sense it's a little easier. You know, it's like when a kid goes into a store and the kid says, I want candy. Okay? So if a kid is trained, right, you say, it's not kosher. Assuming we're telling the truth, okay? And it's, you know, I have this with my kids. My kids are expert. I'm sure everybody's kids are expert, right? They know how to find the hasher, okay? So if they say to me, I can't find the hasher on it. So I look, and I can't find it either. It's not kosher. End of discussion. End of discussion. So now the challenge is, when there is a hasher on it, and it has all this, you know, all the food coloring and all the, you know, whatever it is, how do you say to the kid, I know it's kosher, but... You know, maybe you shouldn't have it anyway. So when they're in Egypt, you say, look, you see all this promiscuity going around in Egypt, but they're Egyptians, and we're the B'nai Israel, and we don't intermingle. So that's easy. They could say, all right, we don't, you know, Egyptians are out. And then we're no longer with Egypt, and we're just amongst ourselves. We say, well, hey, we don't have the Egyptian taiva anymore, because that, you know, that doesn't exist, but... Hey, you know, these are all Jews. Right? And Yiddish died. So he says that's where you need to strengthen yourself. Okay? That you don't give in. Right? Don't do like they were. You may say, I'm no longer there. Don't do like them. So you're going to come to a new place and you're going to see it again. Don't fall prey to it. It said she amar she amar adam ki im yatzav rucha b'davar zeh l'cheinik kima she b'tchiz dvaro atov v'yamar daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yamar talayim ani Hashem l'kechem. And so because a person doesn't have a natural stop in place, God speaks beginning saying daber and v'yamarta. Why? Ki hein emes b'min enoshi zulas Yisrael. This is the truth in the human race outside of Israel. Yeshno betana zo ki lo yimtza b'kocho limno otzim chashko mimenu ma'asha ein kein atem b'nei Yisrael l'tzada yosi Hashem lokechem. He says, you know, the people in the world, they have every excuse under the sun to give in and to falter. Why? Because they're not b'nei Yisrael. But you're b'nei Yisrael. What?
But you give Noach 7 mitzvot, and part of them is Nus.
Right, but which? But what is the definition? Does it include everything? All the arayos of Parshas Zachariah? I don't know that it does. I don't think so. According to when we learned about Avram and Sarah, for example, I don't remember if that was this year or last year. I think it may have been this year. One of the explanations of why they were able to do what they did was because they were living as Noahites, and as Noahites,
they could
you know, they could be married and unmarried and back and forth at, you know, on a whim. And so when they come into Egypt, you say, no, we're not, you know, not Ishti, not my wife. Okay, I mean, that's just an example. I don't think that kind of application works with B'nai Yisrael. And why do you, B'nai Yisrael, have this ability? Because at the end of that first pasuk, Daber al B'nai Yisrael v'yamar ta'alehem ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am Hashem your God. Remember what's above you. Remember what's guiding you. Remember whose values I have imbued in you. That if you are in fact spiritual beings, because you have Ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I'm Hashem your God, then you can overcome a physical, natural desire. If a person decides to cling to Hashem, then he will he'll find the way. And by the way, where was that? Was that the Nesil Shalom? I'm trying to remember. Somebody had it was on Losach Mode. On Losach Mode. I'm trying to remember if it was this year, last year. It was either in a Parsha class or I did somewhere else, where the person was arguing that the way Losach Mode works is we have to ask Hashem Lekecha. Maybe the Nesil Shalom. He says we have to ask Hashem Lekecha. Okay, he says, if you love Hashem your God, how could you ever come to do Losach Mode? How could you violate Losach Mode? Your heart is full with God. So how could you desire somebody else's stuff? Right? Losach Mode is a feeling in the heart. And so the Aruch Chaim is making the same argument here. If you're a spiritual being, if Ani Hashem Elokeichem, if that's what guides you in every way, then you're going to overcome your teva. Lukam Amram, Shamra Tzadikim, Libam Masur Biyadam, Barashayim, Emesurim Biyad Libam. Right? The Tzadikim said that their heart is in their own hand, but the Rishayim said that they are controlled by their heart. That desire is in a person's heart. It's a different chavetz and ratzon, right? It's different. So it's a game of the mind. The master put these two different levels into a person. When the opportunity to violate a davar erva comes, so the heart desires. But nothing is completed with just a desire. If a person has correct ratzon, which is in the mind, then the person can say, you know what, my heart desires, but my mind says to me, stop! Right? Even though he desires it, again, the problem with Lo Sachmod, for example, is, well, can God really control the thoughts? And the answer is, no. So Lo Sachmod means, if you don't desire it in the first place, then you won't come to do something wrong. But your mind may say, I want. Okay, stop there. Stop there, and that's the point that he's
trying. If you say I want, if you think I want, is that
no thinking is no, because you can't command thoughts. I once gave a class about that, which might even be on. Right, so I don't want to get lost in that because I don't remember all the stuff that I have. But if you remind me, send me an email. I can send you the source sheet that I have, because I know I made a source sheet on Losach Mode. And I may even have a recording of that class, Commanding Thoughts, which might even be on YU Torah. I have to double check. Anyway, so I don't want to get lost in that now. I want to skip to the next paragraph because I really want to drive the point home with just one final thought. V'hu mashin eskavin lamar. Right? Is that the last one that I gave you?
Page 5, yeah.
Yeah, v'hu mashin eskavin lamar. We might not do more than this. I think we're going to... I mean, the last paragraph, you can see Nachzor L'Inyan, he kind of goes back to it. The middle paragraph that I gave you there, Odulai, Nachzor L'Inyan, he just brings it to its conclusion. But really, I think Humash and Iskavin is enough. So we'll do this paragraph and we'll stop here. Humash and Iskavin lamar David HaMelech alav shalom, v'mashamar la'asos ritzoncha, Elohai chafatzti v'torascha b'sof me'ai. Right, God, David HaMelech says that I want to do your will, and your Torah is in my kishkes. Akavana hi shemirov d'vekaso ba'adon adonim, that through all of one's clinging to the Master of Masters, is Barak Shemo La'ad, Ad Shagama Lev Nishapek Lasos Kamasa and Neshama, to the point that the heart does what the Neshama wants to do, Sheba Echafetz Bo Mitzaveh Lasos Utsono Yisbarak, where a person is really transformed to be just one who just wants to do God's will. She'eno Me'akas Echafetzim Dvarim Amru Chakim Yakdusha. He's not from the kas means a group, the group of people who desire things which are very distant from kedusha. Utsrichim lamona b'shlulas haratzon, and they need to, prevent themselves from getting it through negating their desire. Elashamei atzmo chavetz b'ritzono yisparach. That what happens, if a person can change oneself to be one whose desire is just to do God's will. L'snod dvar mashar alev chavetz uchoshik mem. To hate the things that the heart covets, and I'm using the word. I know that chafetz and choshek doesn't mean covet, but in other words, it's the kind of thing that the heart is drawn to, but the mind knows is no good for. Right? Can you imagine if a person says, I'm sure we can all say about things that once, I'll use candy as an example, okay? Once upon a time, I loved candy. Love candy, right? Give me candy anytime I see candy. If it's free, it's mine. I'm done. You know, maybe didn't even say brachas, right? I mean, it's just, right? Now you show me a candy, no interest whatsoever. No interest whatsoever. And that's an easy example a lot of people may be able to relate to. But there are some things that people, like, once upon a time had a big type, a big desire for this, and now I don't have it at all. So, but how does that happen? Does it happen because a person gets older? Does it happen because of maturity? Or does it happen because a person, you know, says, you know what? I don't really need that in my life. I'll give you another example. Like for me, but I have three examples that I wrote down here. Okay, for me, before I moved down to Florida, my car was tuned to Sports Radio 66 in New York, and all I listened to in the car was sports. Moved down to Florida, couldn't follow my sports anymore. I stopped following sports, and I have no cheshek for it anymore. Really, I just don't care. Now, what does that mean? I'm such a big guy. No, it's just, you know, maybe you move on in life. There are some people who they can't get rid of. So I'm going to tell you, you know, a story in a second. But his point is, he says that if a person can train oneself, now this is not me, so don't think I'm not using my examples to show what a tzaddik I am. Chalil v'chas, I have to clap on Yom Kippur, you know, as much if not more than other people, and that's fine. It's not fine, but it is what it is. Okay, but I just want to tell you a couple stories. So then with this, we'll conclude. I heard it told about Rav Moshe Feinstein. That Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he was a younger guy. When he was a younger man, was, you know, a person, right, like everybody else. But over time, he became Rav Moshe, right, to the point that we have this image of what it means to be Rav Moshe Feinstein. Was Rav Moshe Feinstein at 80, at 85, at 90, the same Moshe Feinstein from age 25, 30? I would say the answer is, for sure not, okay? So, but somebody becomes, you know, you read when the Rambam talks about his life as a physician and the things which he does. You know, we look at the Rambam and say, tzaddik yisod olam. I don't know. The Talmud Chacham, I don't know what the Rambam's personality was. Okay, I've heard the same thing about the Chafetz Chaim. That the Chafetz Chaim, the reason why the Chafetz Chaim wrote the book of Chafetz Chaim is because he realized he had a problem. And he said, this can't go on, and I need to delve into these laws, and I need to learn these laws, and I need to study these laws, and I need to know them well, and I need to teach them. And then I can become the Chafetz Chaim. Okay? And my other example, two other examples. I remember when I was in YU, the first 2 years I was in YU, I was in Rabbi Parnas' shiur. When Rabbi Parnas left to go to Lander College, so he gave a long talk about his hashkafa, I would say. And I remember him saying that he also felt about himself that he had evolved. And one of the examples that he gave was, you know, there's a pizza shop across the street from YU. And in the pizza shop, in addition to selling food, they had newspapers. And he said, I used to love the Yankees. I'm sure he grew up in the time when everybody in New York loved the Yankees. He says, I used to love the Yankees. And it got to a point where I stopped watching television. But when I would go in the pizza shop, I would open up the paper and I'd look at the box scores. So I wanted to know. I needed to know. And he says, it got to a point where I didn't need the box scores, but I still had to look at the headlines. And I don't remember where he was at that point, but he was saying, either he had gotten past it, or he said, I want to get to a point where I don't even care about the headline. Okay, so, and I heard a similar story about Rabbi Chaim Pinchas Schomburg, and these are not sins, all the examples that I'm giving. Okay, it's not sins, but it's just a question of, are we a ruchnius or are we a gashmius? Okay, so these are gashmius. He's talking about arayos. That's a big deal, right? That's a big deal sin, and of course it's a much bigger desire and cheshek, etc. But I heard this story about Rabbi Scheinberg, who also grew up he saw Babe Ruth play. Okay, so I heard that when the Yankees won the World Series in the 90s, he was a big Yankees fan. The Yankees won the World Series, started getting good again in the mid-90s. That he made a kiddush, and people said to him, Scheinberg, why'd you make a kiddush? He says, because the Yankees won the World Series. He said, you're making a kiddush because the Yankees won the World Series? And he said, for the first time in my life, I don't care. That's why he was making the kiddush. So So again, these are dumb examples of non-sins, but of just what does it mean to be a ruchnius person, and a person who lets the mind control one's desire, because the heart is hard to control. The mind is easier to control, right? The heart says, I want, I want, I want, and the mind says, but you don't want, and you don't need, and don't be stupid, right? And don't do what you shouldn't do. And so he uses Mitzrayim and Canaan as examples, because of these are cultures in which you're going to find, in which you found yourself, in which you're going to find yourself, and don't be drawn by it. Why? And so it's a great introduction to next week's parsha, which is Kedoshim to you. But I thought it was just a beautiful message that the Or HaChaim was giving us in terms of what does it mean to be a spiritual person.